Welcome back to the podcast. We've got a really interesting mix of stories on the docket today, touching on local business struggles, wildlife encounters, and some sports updates to round things out.
It is one of those episodes that really runs the gamut. We are going to be talking about a popular Grand Rapids brunch spot that is facing a sudden and unexpected closure, and it all revolves around a missing liquor license.
It is a fascinating look at the razor-thin margins in the restaurant industry. Plus, if you live in or around Cascade Township, you might want to double-check your backyard security. We have some incredible video evidence of a black bear making the rounds and terrorizing local bird feeders.
Spring is officially here, and the wildlife is waking up hungry. I am excited to dive into that one. Let's get right into the restaurant news, because the clock is ticking for this local diner.
Let's start with some news out of the local restaurant scene that highlights just how fragile the hospitality industry can be right now. The Grand Rapids location of Good Truck and Diner is facing a potential closure as soon as this Sunday, April 26th, 2026.
And this isn't a case of a restaurant simply failing to find an audience. Good Truck and Diner is a really popular spot. They are known for their all-day breakfast and brunch, but they are tangled in an administrative nightmare that is bleeding over into their daily operations.
Exactly. The owner, Nick Sinicropi, has publicly confirmed that the restaurant has been operating without a liquor license. And you might think, okay, it is a diner. People go for the eggs and pancakes. Why is a liquor license a life or death issue for a brunch spot?
It comes down to the fundamental economics of the modern brunch model. Yes, you sell eggs and bacon, but the margins on food are incredibly thin. The real profit driver for a weekend brunch service is the alcohol. We're talking mimosas, Bloody Marys, craft cocktails.
Right, and when you remove those high margin items, the overall revenue of the restaurant takes a massive hit. But Sinicropi pointed out a secondary, perhaps even more critical issue caused by this, which is severe staffing challenges.
Which makes perfect sense when you look at how front-of-house staff are compensated. Servers at popular brunch spots rely heavily on tips. If a table of four orders food but no alcohol, the total bill is significantly lower than if they had ordered a round or two of drinks. Lower check averages mean lower tips. So you have servers working just as hard, flipping just as many tables, but walking away with 20 to 30% less in their pockets at the end of a shift. And in today's competitive labor market, those servers are just going to leave and find a job at a restaurant down the street that does have an active liquor license. Sinicropi basically confirmed that this missing license has led directly to staff departures.
It is a cascading failure. You lose your liquor license, you lose your profit margin. You lose your profit margin, your check averages drop. Your check averages drop, your staff quits. And suddenly, you cannot open your doors because you do not have enough people to run the floor.
To make matters worse, they have been dealing with an absolute public relations mess on top of the operational issues. There was an unauthorized post on their social media accounts claiming the restaurant was going to close early, specifically on April 19th. That post was eventually deleted, but the damage in the restaurant industry happened so fast. When people see a closure announcement, they immediately change their weekend plans. They stop buying gift cards. It creates a self-fulfilling prophecy. It is a nightmare scenario for an owner. You are already fighting behind the scenes to resolve the licensing issue. You're trying to retain your staff. And then someone with access to your social media broadcasts a premature surrender to your entire customer base.
It really highlights the importance of tightening up digital security and communication protocols during a crisis. If you have former staff members or disgruntled employees who still have access to the Instagram or Facebook accounts, you are incredibly vulnerable.
Sinicropi had to come out and do damage control, clarifying that the Lansing locations of Good Truck and Diner are completely unaffected by this. This is strictly a Grand Rapids issue.
And that Grand Rapids location only just opened in 2023. They have not even been operating for 3 full years. It is a stark reminder of how administrative hurdles can threaten even popular, well-loved local establishments.
You know, it brings up a broader conversation about the bureaucratic friction small business owners face. Obtaining and maintaining a liquor license is notoriously complex. There are quotas, background checks, and endless red tape.
And if there is a lapse, the state does not just let you keep pouring drinks while you sort it out. They shut that side of the business down immediately. The state does not care if it ruins your weekend brunch rush.
Exactly. A legacy restaurant might be able to survive a few months without alcohol sales by leaning on their cash reserves. A spot that opened in 2023 is still trying to pay off its initial build-out costs. Every dollar of margin counts.
And let's go back to that unauthorized social media post for a second, because I think there is a huge lesson there. The fact that the post claimed they were closing on April 19th, a full week before the actual potential closure date of the 26th, suggests an internal breakdown.
It completely undermines the owner's ability to control the narrative. If you were trying to negotiate with a landlord or an investor or the state, a public post saying you were dead destroys your leverage.
It really does. And from a consumer standpoint, if I read that a place is closing on the 19th, I am not going to bother showing up on the 20th, even if the owner leader deletes the post. The confusion alone is enough to kill foot traffic.
It is a shame, because the Good Truck and Diner brand is so strong in Lansing. Their original locations have a fiercely loyal following. It seemed like a slam dunk to bring that concept to Grand Rapids.
It just goes to show that a great menu and a strong brand are not enough to guarantee success. You have to have the back office administration completely locked down. We will be keeping a close eye on what happens this Sunday.
Let's shift gears from the urban jungle to actual wildlife. Over in Cascade Township, residents are getting a stark reminder that they share their neighborhoods with some fairly large predators. That is right. Julie Romance, a local resident, recently captured some pretty incredible security camera footage of a black bear raiding a bird feeder right on her deck.
What I love about this story is the vindication for Julie. She had noticed her bird feeder was bent and mangled, and she suspected a bear was the culprit. But her neighbors were completely skeptical. They probably thought it was just a really aggressive raccoon or the wind.
Right, because you do not typically expect a black bear to wander up to your deck in a populated suburban area. But Julie was not taking no for an answer. She specifically moved the feeder onto her deck, right in the sightline of her security camera, just to catch whatever was doing it in the act.
And sure enough, she got the footage. A late-night visitor, a black bear, just casually helping itself to the bird seed. It is a great moment of proof for her, but it also raises some serious safety concerns for the community.
Absolutely. The Michigan Department of Natural Resources, the DNR, has some pretty specific data on this. They estimate the state's black bear population is sitting at around 12,450.
And while the vast majority of those bears are up in the Upper Peninsula, the DNR says there are about 2,100 black bears roaming the Lower Peninsula.
2,100 is not a small number when you consider how rapidly residential development is expanding into natural wildlife corridors in West Michigan.
That is the crux of the issue. As we build more subdivisions and expand into these wooded areas, human-bear interactions are going to become much more frequent. Especially right now, in late March and April, when these bears are just emerging from their winter dens.
They wake up and they are incredibly hungry. Their natural food sources, like berries and certain vegetation, are not fully bloomed or available yet. So they start foraging for easy calories.
And nothing provides easy calories quite like a backyard bird feeder. Birdseed is packed with fat and protein. To a hungry bear, a bird feeder is basically a highly concentrated energy bar hanging from a tree.
Which is exactly why DNR officials are practically begging residents to take down their bird feeders during the spring and summer months. They also advise securing your trash in heavy-duty containers and making sure you are not leaving any pet food outdoors.
It seems like such a simple request, but people love watching the birds, so they leave the feeders out. The problem is habituation. When a bear realizes that a human backyard is a reliable source of food, it loses its natural fear of humans.
Habituation is incredibly dangerous. A bear that isn't afraid of humans is a bear that will eventually walk up to a sliding glass door, or approach a child, or get aggressive when a homeowner tries to shoo it away.
And unfortunately, when those conflicts escalate, it rarely ends well for the bear.
As the saying goes, a fed bear is a dead bear. Wildlife officials are often forced to euthanize habituated bears because relocating them does not always work. They just find their way back to another neighborhood.
That is the long-term consequence we have to think about. By leaving a bird feeder out, you are not just risking property damage, like Julie Romance's bent feeder pole. You are actively endangering the local bear population.
It really requires a community-wide effort. If Julie takes her feeder down, but her neighbor three doors down leaves theirs up, the bear is still going to patrol that neighborhood. Everyone in Cascade Township needs to be on the same page.
It is a fascinating look at the friction of suburban expansion. We want to live in these beautiful wooded enclaves, but we often forget that we are moving into their living room, not the other way around.
You know, the DNR also points out that bears have an incredible sense of smell. They can smell a bird feeder or a dirty barbecue grill from over a mile away. You might think your backyard is secure, but to a bear, it is broadcasting a scent beacon.
That is a great point. Cleaning your grill after using it is another big piece of advice from wildlife experts. All that grease and leftover food residue is just as tempting as birdseed. And if you do encounter a bear in your yard, the DNR says you should never approach it. Make loud noises, bang pots and pans, yell. Basically, do everything you can to make the bear feel unwelcome. You want to reinforce that negative association with humans.
Exactly. Do not pull out your phone and try to get a selfie with it. Scare it off. It feels mean in the moment, but you are actually doing the animal a massive favor by keeping it wild. Kudos to Julie for figuring out the mystery, but hopefully she has taken that feeder down for the season. If you live anywhere near a wooded area in the Lower Peninsula, consider this your public service announcement. Bring the birdseed inside.
All right, let's hit a few more stories real quick before we wrap up today's show.
We have got a couple of sports updates to run through, starting with some local high school golf.
The Brainerd High School boys golf team took home a big win at the Grand Rapids Invitational on April 21st, 2026. The Warriors put together a dominant team score of 303 at the Pokegama Golf Course. And a huge part of that victory came courtesy of Isaac Osselent, who secured individual medalist honors by shooting a stellar 72. It is a fantastic early season performance that really sets the tone for Brainerd as they look ahead to the section and state tournaments later this spring.
Moving over to the minor leagues, it was a tough night for the West Michigan Whitecaps, whose impressive 7-game winning streak came to an end on Tuesday, April 21st, falling 4-2 to the Lake County Captains. The Whitecaps offense just could not find a rhythm. They were held to only 4 hits and struck out a brutal 15 times. Meanwhile, Lake County relied on the long ball, getting solo home runs from Bennett Thompson, Luke Hill, and Aaron Walton. Despite the loss, the Whitecaps are still holding on to first place in the Midwest League Eastern Division.
And that is going to wrap up our coverage for today.
Thanks, as always, for tuning in. Whether you are navigating restaurant drama or keeping bears out of your backyard, we appreciate you spending part of your day with us. We will be back next time with more of the latest news. Until then, stay safe out there.